Hello guys, and welcome to this next episode of Weekly Magazine Podcast. I am Shanaya Wagh, and this week, let me wish you a very happy Diwali. It's the 25th of October and Diwali is here. It's the festival of lights, and may your life be filled with happiness, positivity and light. Let us begin with this episode. I have shuffled a bit of the sections. Let us start with something new I found out, because that is kind of linked to today's topic. And then I will tell you something new about my city, Mumbai, that is also related to the same topic. And ultimately, I'll be asking you quiz questions. So there isn't any Q&A this week. Let me tell you something new. Well, yesterday was the 24th of October, and it was also the International Museum Workers Day. So why is this day, and what is it all about? So International Museum Workers Day Foundation has come up with this idea to take a day and to actually think about the people behind the scenes at a museum. You've probably been guilty of this. I know I have. You probably go to a museum, you have a quick look and just get out. Not a quick look for me. I like to spend time. But still, I never thought personally, to be honest, about what actually happens behind every artifact. Who are the people behind this entire museum? But you never think about these things. You just move out and you're like, okay, I had a nice time, enjoyable. That was that. People who don't like history are probably like, okay, that's done. Well, a few years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, I got an excellent opportunity from the Museum Workers Day Foundation to write for them. So they wanted me to write about the different people behind a museum. And that literally opened my eyes to what it actually is and how many people. Just the gist of actually what goes behind a museum. Let us think about these artifacts. So these artifacts for an exhibition, say, are bought on loan. So you need finance for this. So you need accountants to take care of that for you. Then you require security people to take care of the artifacts. And then the actual team who are working towards this exhibition. So it starts from what's the storyline going to be? So they're not just randomly placed artifacts. So everything has a story. What is the sequence that has to work? Then the conservators have to work on the artifacts, and a lighting guy, the person who will actually light up the museum, like lighting for the museum, for the exhibition, will have to work with the conservators, because it's not just like, yeah, let's put a light bulb here and there, because every artifact needs to have that proportion of light on it. Some artifacts should not have any light on it, especially your paintings. How much heat the light has to generate. It's all a lot of science, mathematics and physics in all of this. So you need to have a light person working with the conservator. That is just for the artifacts. Then it's about the designing, how it should look. It should be attractive. And then ultimately it's the script writing, which is underneath every artifact, where it's coming from, what's the history. And that's, again, a lot of thinking has to go behind it. It's not just mere words, because one artifact has so much to tell you. So what do you actually highlight, and who are your people like? In Mumbai, there are so many people. You have international tourists, you have locals, you have Indian tourists coming from different sections of the country. So it's a wide range, people coming from various backgrounds with different knowledge levels and expectations from a museum. So it has to reach every single person, and it should not hurt anybody's sentiments. So that is how a museum actually plans out an exhibition. This is just a look into some of the people. So then you have curators, you have people who will show you around, you have tour guides and so many. So it's a huge team behind one single exhibition, probably where you just spend a few minutes just looking at it and moving ahead. But just next time when you go to a museum or you think, just think about these people and express gratitude, because it's a lot of work taking care of such a thing, and a lot of responsibility as well, because every artifact is running into millions. That said, let's go on to the main topic. So the main topic for this week is about museums, and two prominent museums in my city. These two museums, I personally believe, have set a threshold into what museums should have and how they are. And I want to talk to you about these two museums because it played a vital role for Mumbai and its history. So what about museums and Mumbai? So Mumbai, it's basically an industrial town. So you have cotton traders, you had a lot of industrial manufacturing going on. And in such a city, nobody really had a time for a museum. So where did this idea come from? Well, this idea came in 1851. What happened then? In 1851, Prince Albert, the husband of Queen Victoria, arranged the Great Exhibition in London. And this Great Exhibition was literally great. It had artifacts from all corners of the British Empire to show the British people how vast their empire was. And it started, and at that point in time, the British Empire covered more than half of the world. So it was a huge exhibition. And India sent its own artifacts, and artifacts from Mumbai went there as well. And Mumbai, being the industrial town, probably had a lot of different artifacts from the rest of the world. And it was a premier city in India at that time. And these Woods West, there were so many, obviously Britain couldn't keep them back. So they sent the Woods back to Bombay, and they came back to Bombay and they were left with a question of what to do with these. So probably they must have thought people want to have a look at it. So they used the town hall, which is the current Asiatic Library, and they quickly realized that the town hall was not enough for these goods, like these artifacts. They came up with an idea to set up these artifacts in a new museum at Bhaikala, the current Bhaikala. It's near the station, right on the outskirts of the Jizamata Udyan, which is the Bhaikala Zoo. And they set up this museum and called it the Victoria and Albert Museum. And even today, if you look at the grill work on the balustrades, you will find intertwined V&A after Victoria and Albert. History behind this museum was that Sir Bartle Frere, the governor, who had big dreams for Mumbai, laid the foundation stone in 1862 in November, and they had to do a lot of campaigning for money. And a prominent citizen, Dr. Bhaudaji Lad, played a real big role. He raised about 1,16,500 rupees, which is 116,500 rupees, for this museum. He himself donated a huge sum of money, and the government gave them 1 lakh, which is 100,000 rupees. And together they built this museum, called it Victor and Albert Museum, having V&As all over the place. And it continued to be the only museum in the city. In 1975, when after independence, they decided to change the name of the museum and dedicate it to Dr. Bhaudaji Lad, who really worked hard to raise funds for this museum. Dr. Bhaudaji Lad was a prominent citizen, he was a physician, and he was a Sanskrit scholar and an antiquarian. An antiquarian is a person who has interest in rare books. So that was his profile. And of course, he was behind raising this museum. So Victor and Albert became Bhaudaji Lad, and it continued. And in 1997, it reached such a low point. Things had turned for the worse. The building had become derelict. The artifacts inside were pretty much broken and almost close to destruction. The building was covered with blue plastic to hide the cracks which had come in, and a lot of moisture, fungus, algae. It was basically something that will not survive another monsoon. It was a pitiable state. So in 2003, a couple of years later, Intac, along with the Jamandal Bajaj Foundation and the Municipal Corporation, MCGM, decided to restore the museum.
and their effort in restoring is so good. It's been acknowledged with an award by the UNESCO organization. They transformed this museum, and there is nothing left. There is no reminder of what had happened in the 1990s. If you visit it today, you have beautiful chandeliers, a wonderful old Renaissance revival style building. You have beautiful lanterns, well-painted walls, Minton tiles, and lovely artifacts reminding you of the past and the different occupations that people in Bombay had, how the maps were of Bombay and the military and all of that, and the dressing style of the different communities in Bombay. So it's much to do with Bombay today. So their installation is excellent. You can find pictures on their website even today if you go under restoration. And it's a stunning transformation.
I'd like to mention that they had a carpet from the Yerwada prison. And this carpet was in such a pathetic condition. It was basically an angry knot of thread. That's it. It was basically what happens when you go for a work experience class with no experience on how to stitch, and you actually take a thread and you start doing some random things and make a ball of nothing. Well, that's what I did. But anyways, that's what the carpet was looking like, and they transformed this. It was an excellent restoration. It's basically threads, and it's not easy to restore threads. It's a lot of tedious work. So they got people from Kashmir, workers from Kashmir. Kashmir is known for their carpets all across the world, beautiful weaving on the carpet. So these artists came from Kashmir. They got thread from Middle East, and they have restored this carpet. I don't think it's on display at the museum currently, but they have a picture on the website, so you can have a look and compare. It's stunning. The restoration is stunning. They basically revived and, you can say, gave a birth to the museum again in 2003. So that's an interesting thing to look at. And well, that brings me to the next museum after the Howrah Jilla Museum. The next prominent museum, and basically if you anybody telling you that I'm going to the museum in Mumbai means this museum, it's the CFMVS Museum, or the Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj Vastu Samgrahalaya, formerly called as the Prince of Wales Museum of Western India. And this name, the Prince of Wales, will probably give you an understanding into its history. What happened in 1905 was that Bombay was added to the itinerary of George V and his wife's visit to India. At that point, George V was the Prince of Wales, and he was coming for the first time to India and to Bombay particularly, and they wanted to gift something to the king when he visited. So they thought about making a museum, why not? So there were a few prominent people who came up with an idea. So let me list these people to you. It was Sir Firoz Shah Mehta, Justice Chandavalkar, Sassoon J. David, and other people they met at the town hall. Everything happens in the town hall. They met there, they discussed that let's start a museum. And when the Prince of Wales came on 11th of November 1905, he laid the foundation stone of what would become the Prince of Wales Museum of Western India. And this museum, they didn't really do anything till 1909. So they had a competition in 1909. They invited designs from various architects asking for a very Indian look. And George Whitted was one of the people who submitted his designs. And he debuted what was Indo-Saracenic style, which is an integration of Indian as well as European styles. So you have the big dome above the museum today. So he won, obviously, because you see his design today. And there's a dome on top of the museum, which is basically modeled on the Gol Gumbaz in Bijapur, and there is a lot of jali work. Also reminds you of Indian architecture, and coupled with a few European tidbits like the staircases. So that was Indo-Saracenic style. It was the first time. And you find this style at the Gateway of India as well, which was built a decade later by the same architect. And this museum was completed in 1914, which basically means it was done when the World War began. So they couldn't really open in 1914 because the museum was supposed to be a museum. The building served as a military hospital, then as a children's welfare center. And ultimately, on the 10th of January, 1922, they opened the gates. And since then, it's been an amazing journey for them, if I may say so. Because personally, I have a lot of happy memories there. It's my happy place. So I go there if I want to feel rejuvenated and myself again, especially before exams. So the museum, I prominently remember two exhibitions that they had. One was a mummy. So it was the first time I actually saw a mummy. I had seen them before in movies, but never really in reality. So I remember the name of the mummy as well. This Nespai Noob, and it was the entire mummy got from the British Museum, and we had gone from school to see it. It was something very different and interesting, and they had this documentary. It was fun. And the next one was India and the World, which took place a few years ago, I think 1.5-2 years ago. This one was about India and its history with the rest of the world. So as you know, India is one of the four oldest civilizations, and with the Harappan and the Indus Valley civilization. So it was mind-blowing to actually think that some thousands of years ago, people traded between each other. It was not like flying for a holiday. It was once that you migrated forever. But trade was ongoing between the civilizations, and so was it in India as well. So it's the history of India from the thousands of years ago till date, and its connection with the world. And it's really astonishing to find that trade took place between different civilizations in the world at different times. So that was the two museums. There are many others. For example, you have the RBI Museum, which is the Reserve Bank of India Museum. It's in the Reserve Bank building. And if you're interested in money and promissory notes and such, and the evolution of money right from the exchange barter system to today, you should visit that museum. Photography is not allowed because it's inside the RBI building. So that was about the museum. So that's the museum I can remember. So, let me tell you a bit of a tidbit. Like I said, there's something new about Mumbai. Just next to the CSM West Museum is the area called Kala Ghoda. If you're from Mumbai, you will probably know about this area. And today there is just one statue in plaque about a horse. But that's not the original statue that gave the area the name Kala Ghoda. Kala Ghoda literally meaning black horse. So if you go to the Bahudaji Lad Museum, so I'm connecting the two museums together. So if you go to the Bahudaji Lad Museum, which is just on the outskirts of the zoo, you move towards the entrance of the zoo and look between the grills. And if you look between the grills, you'll find an equestrian statue of Edward VII. That statue is actually the original Kala Ghoda statue, which stood at the area called Kala Ghoda today. And I think it was removed when they decided to actually remove all the statues relating to the British era. So it was removed then, but it is at the Bahudaji Lad Museum. It's in black, and it's an equestrian statue of Edward VII. So that was something new for you, I hope. With that, let us move on to the quizzes. And this week, about the quiz, I have four questions for you. It's all to do with museums. So the first question is, name 5 museums. Pretty simple. Name any 5 museums across the world. Okay. Second question is about, which museum hosts a famous event in May every year? Which museum, name the museum, hosts a very famous, very highly publicized event every May, probably around the 4th of May. Okay. The third question is, in which museum will you find Mona Lisa? If you watched the previous videos, you would know. So which museum will you find the Mona Lisa? And the last question is, which language does the word museum come from? It's tricky. Which language does the word museum come from? So it's a little tricky, but that is that. So this time, four questions, something new you found out, two new things you found out. And make sure that next time you visit a museum, you express your gratitude to the people behind every museum exhibition. If not to them personally, at least in your mind. Because it's a lot of work that goes behind every museum exhibit and artifact you see. And if you're in Mumbai, you're living in Mumbai, you're coming to Mumbai, make sure you visit these two museums. And yes, please go on to the website. Nobody sponsored me to say this, but it was really astonishing to see the big transformation of the Bahawalpur Land Museum. It's something to really look at and just be amazed at what they've done. So with that, we are at the end of this week's video. Wishing you a happy Diwali once again. And with that, I will see you next Friday with a new topic, something to do great with history. Till then, I will see you on social media. Please share this because it helps when there are more eyes and ears listening. So that's that. Bye-bye.